Yeah, it's a digital recorder.
Jeff and I, check three. Zip and I, three, we went through verse 11 pretty quick. I think we covered it good enough. Verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Look at Isaiah 14:32. Or I'll read them as fast as I can find them. Isaiah 14:32. Talks about poor folk. Rough verses for poor folk.
Well, the psalmist said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Don't think it's bad to be poor. It's a compliment. Yeah. I like God thinking about me.
I hope it ain't. I've been poor all my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isaiah 14:32 says, what shall one then answer the messenger of the nation, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? Mm-hmm. Matthew 26:11. For you have the poor always with you. Rough verse. But me you have not always.
Yeah.
Mark 14:17. It looks like there's going to be some poor people in the millennium, you know, and I've thought about that thing. Zephaniah is the second advent in the millennium, and the way it looks, there could be poor folk in the millennium. I really understand how that's going to be possible, because everything's going to be utopia in the millennium. Farmers are going to have good crops, gardens will be good, and I don't understand all that goes into that, but that's what it looks like. Mark 14:7. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me, ye have not always. Three times in the New Testament, John 12:8. John 12:8 says. For the poor always you have with you. I think he got the point across, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Three times already in the New Testament, talks about it in the Old Testament. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty strong statement there.
You know, the Lord told him even leave corners of the fields for the poor.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, mm-hmm, and to the needy in the land. So it's good to be good to poor people when they need help, if you can. And when you can.
Especially the saints.
Especially the saints. Now, you know, I've never been broke in my life. Well, I'll put it this way. I've been broke in my life, but I've never been poor. I mean, I've always had something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a place to live. I always had clothes. Now, there are poor people that sometimes don't even have anything to eat.
Right.
And don't have, they got one set of clothes they wear all the time, or maybe two sets of clothes, or maybe one pair of shoes. Like I say, I've been broke before, but I've never been considered poor. But in some senses, in some lights, I'm considered poor. You compare me to a multimillionaire, then I'm poor.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do what he can do. But then you compare me to people over in Asia, over in the Philippines,
right,
man, I'm rich.
Right.
But like I say, I've been broke, but I've never been real poor. You know, I've never been poor as far as, you know, nothing to eat, or I come into class at Proverbs 30, verse 8. Proverbs 30, verse 8. That's what most of us are in the class of right there. Proverbs 30, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Look at it real close. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me neither poverty nor riches. This fellow, this brother here, he was content to be middle class, lower side middle class.
It tells why, though. The next verse.
Feed me with food convenient for me. Yeah, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? That's what a lot of rich folk do.
Yeah.
Rich folk, they get thinking, well, I got it all myself.
That's what Nebuchadnezzar said.
Yeah, he said, I got
tonight it. Tonight I built all this.
I got everything myself.
Yeah.
Lord didn't do anything for me. I got it all my life. I worked day and night for 50 years.
Yeah.
And look what I've achieved.
Yeah.
I tell you what, he couldn't even breathe if the Lord didn't help him to breathe.
That's true.
That's the way it works. That's the way it works. I'm not poor, I'm not rich, I'm in the middle there, like Proverbs 30, verse 8. But I tell you what, folks, it's tough. It'd be tough being poor.
Yeah.
It'd be rough. I mean, you imagine going home and no lunch, no supper tonight.
Could draw you closer to God.
Not even know where you could get it for a while. That'd be rough.
It'd draw you closer to God.
Kentucky right now, see them coal miners, how they've been treated by Obama.
Yeah. Rough. Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah,
that's picking
is.
On the poor.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah, and that'll cost him one of these days.
It will.
Now, it looks like the poor are going to be around all throughout history.
Hey, Brother Mike.
Yeah.
You just brought to my mind a scripture out of James there where God talked about the poor crying out to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a tribulation thing there.
Yeah, but he did say that they withheld their wages.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the hire of a laborer is to reap down your field, which is kept back by you by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord.
Right. Yeah. Crooks.
We got some of that today. I've seen it.
True. It looks like the poor is going to be around throughout history. Now, they won't be poor in eternity. There won't be any poor folk in eternity. In eternity, everything is going to be blessed.
Yeah.
Bliss. I mean, no such thing as poverty in eternity. And I don't understand all I know about poor people in the millennium. But,
unless you're in hell, that's pretty poor.
Yeah.
It's in poor shape.
Yeah, but that's not what he's talking about. On the land, it says, over in Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
In the land. But it looks like there's going to even be poor people in the millennium. And I don't understand all I know about it. But...
Said they're going to trust in the name of the Lord, though.
They'll trust in the Lord. Surely people will do right by them in the millennium. Now, there's something else behind this thing with poor people. During the tribulation, rich Jews will take the mark of the beast.
Hmm.
And rich Gentiles will take the mark of the beast. Now, you say, why would they do that? So they can spend their money. Because if you don't have that mark, you can't buy and you can't sell.
Hmm.
I mean, you take a multimillionaire... He goes to buy him a vehicle in the millennium. I mean, in the tribulation, they say you got your mark. If he don't have a mark, he can't buy. His money's no good. And let me tell you something. During that time, people will take the mark rather than be broke, rather than be poor. They choose damnation over poverty. That's what that's talking about. Because if they take the mark, they're condemned. Nothing can be done about it.
Right.
Now, there's going to be poor people in tribulation who won't take the mark, especially poor Jews. They won't take the mark, and when these Jews refuse to take that mark, they're going to start being hunted
right.
like animals.
It's true.
And the Antichrist is going to try to get rid of them. But they're going to flee to Petra to escape the Antichrist, and they're going to be fed there by Jesus Christ like the children of Israel were fed in the wilderness. They were fed manna in the wilderness. I look at Revelation 12:6. They'll be fed there because they're hiding from the Antichrist. Revelation 12:6. And the woman fled into the wilderness. Now that woman represents Israel. For she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days. And on the Jewish calendar, their calendar has 30 days a month. Their calendar's not like ours. Figure that up, that's exactly 3.5 years.
Yeah.
That's how he's going to feed them in the wilderness.
Yeah. It's mentioned in verse 14. It's mentioned in verse 14.
Yeah, read it, 14, brother.
Said to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, she might fly into the wilderness and to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent.
Right, 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Now that's what's going to happen in the tribulations of poor Jews who will not take the mark. Now, Micah 7, 14 and 15. Micah 7, 14 and 15. We went over this in detail when we went through Micah, but just to refresh your mind. Feed my people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. They're going to be hiding in the woods.
Right.
They're going to be over in Petra, hiding. They're going to be in Mount Carmel, hiding from the Antichrist, trying to keep from being caught. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old, like God fed them in the wilderness. Now, the Jews who don't take the mark and that they can't get away from the hunters, people hunting them, and if they don't take the mark, they're going to be hunted down like dogs. And now the Jews who don't take the mark and don't make it to Petra, they don't get away, they can't escape their hunters, they'll be the victims of Micah 7, verse 2. Micah 7, verse 2. When they catch him, the good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. Here's the hunters. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. They're going to hunt them like animals.
You know, Jesus even mentioned that in Matthew 24, talking about how they betray one another.
True.
Brother betray brother, yeah.
True. And when they catch him, they're going to be sacrificed on an altar to the Antichrist. They're going to be sacrificed on an altar to the Antichrist.
Yeah, that's bad.
And when Christ comes back, he rescues the Jews in hiding, and he resurrects the Jews that are martyred and turns Jerusalem over to them when he comes back. Look at Isaiah 5, 14, 15. Let's look at some verses that talk about this.
I was doing a little social media this morning.
So make it Exodus 16.
There's a giving this Bible down the road. And, of course, I kind of set for defense of the gospel. I said, ain't it amazing? And no matter if you had a 100% poll to get rid of the Bible, you couldn't get rid of it. Heaven and earth have passed waiting for it, though.
Did you say 16?
Exodus 16, yeah. 33 through 36. Now, here's some verses that talk about what I just told you. Exodus 16, 33 through 36. Talking about the being fed in the wilderness. You all familiar with that. Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generation. Now that's strange. That's a strange statement there, but you think about it. He put that stuff in the ark and it's a picture or a memorial or a representative of something that's going to happen in the future in the tribulation for their generation's future.
16 what?
16:33. 34, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came into a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan.
How many do you reckon there were? 6 million?
Or Jews?
Yeah.
I think they estimated there were 3 million of them.
And 40 years?
Yeah.
Fed them.
A lot of quail, wasn't it? A lot of manna, a lot of bread from heaven.
Fed them
40
years.
Psalm 78:2-3.
Oh, that's sad there.
Psalm 78.
They forgot him.
2-3. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Now, he's talking about this thing. A parable about something that happened in the past. It's going to happen in the future. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Now look at verse 24 and 25. Look at 23. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven.
Cornbread.
Cornbread.
There you go.
Man did eat angels' food.
Well, you can't go wrong with that.
He sent them meat to the full. Now that's what happened in the wilderness. That's what went on in the wilderness for 40 years. But it's going to happen again for 3.5 years in tribulation when God takes care of those Jews that escaped the Antichrist. Now look at Isaiah 6:13 about those people who get caught.
25, y'all say an angel food cake.
Mm-hmm.
Man did eat angel food.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Isaiah 6:13. Now this is those people that can't escape and get caught. They get caught. Isaiah 6:13. They're going to be sacrificed to the Antichrist. And not only are they going to stop with that sacrifice, they're going to eat them. Now, that's devils for you. That's devils for you,
man.
And that's what's going to be the table of devils, the cup of devils in tribulation. They're going to eat them after they sacrifice them. Isaiah 6:13 said, "But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves." Who's going to be eaten? "So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof."
Men are like trees.
And that's what's going to happen. Yeah, men are like trees several times in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But now that's what's coming up. And it's going to be a rough time on this planet. And I mean, people, you talk to people about it, try to win, they go,
"Yeah,
whoa. Yeah,
that's true."
Playing tonight.
They're not open to the truth.
That's just the way they are.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to try to win them, but boy, if they could just get a glimpse of what's coming, they'd flee to the cross. Verse 13, Zephaniah 3:13. "The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity or speak lies, neither shall a deceitful song be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid."
Amen.
None shall make them afraid. There's a small group of Jews at the end of the tribulation. They don't worship the beast, and they won't take his mark. Now, that's who this remnant's talking about here, this remnant, small group. It's not talking about every Jew that's come and gone. They're not talking about the Jews that have lived in the past that's come and gone. Romans 11:4-5. This remnant fact goes through the book. It's all the way through the Bible.
Right.
The remnant fact. There's a remnant at the end of the tribulation, small remnant left. There's a remnant now of Bible-believing Jews. Right now. We're not Jews, but we're spiritual Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in Christ. He's in us. And we're a small remnant of Bible believers. You say, "Well, there's a lot of Bible believers." There's a whole lot more that don't believe.
That's true, yeah. Brother.
You can go to... I went by the Big Baptist Church this morning. Their scripture sign out on the front is an NIV.
Never intended version?
Never intended
nothing
version.
Nothing in it version.
There you go. And we're a small remnant that still believe this book.
Mm-hmm.
Small remnant compared to all the overall Christian population. Where was I?
Romans 11:5.
This remnant fact goes all the way through the scriptures. Romans 11:4-5 said. Romans 11:4-5. "But what saith the answer of God unto him?" Now he was talking about Elijah here. You remember what Elijah said? "I'm the only one left." And the Lord said, "Hey, I got 7,000. Never bowed to Baal." The remnant fact was even prevalent back then. "But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal." Image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There'll be an image in tribulation that people will have to bow down to in order to get the mark. "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." There it is again. Look at verse 26. "And after all said and done, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." All of Israel that's left after tribulation. Now, notice here it says, "and none shall make them afraid." Now, you know that's future. That's not the case right now. Look at Micah chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Micah 4, 6, and 7. We've been in Donovan meetings all week. Brother Donovan's been at Bible Believers Friday night. And they had question and answer Saturday. People just, they asked questions from the audience, and he would answer them with Scripture. Boy, it's great.
Wow.
And there was a little, 7-year-old girl sitting beside us. She's a daughter of a missionary. There was a lot of missionaries in from out of town. And this girl's 7 years old. And these questions were being asked, and I mean, he was going through the Bible. Here, turn to, turn to, turn to, turn to, turn to, turn to.
I poked at him. I said,
this little 7-year-old girl, she went to every reference he called out. 7 years old. I mean, through the Old Testament, she was finding them before I was.
Yeah.
7 years old. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Micah 4:6-7. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Yeah, let me find that real quick. Jonah, Micah. I still have to think about it. Micah 4:6-7. Talking about this remnant. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion, and look how long he reigns, from henceforth even forever.
Amen.
Boy, they won't be oppressed anymore after the second advent of Christ.
No, that's right.
No more. Amen. No more. Look at Isaiah 60:21-22. Isaiah 60:21-22. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever.
Mm-hmm.
The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Look how it's going to be. A little one shall become a thousand. And a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. You know, you think, how can a kid, his offspring, be a nation? The Lord's going to hasten it. It's going to happen. It's going to start in the millennium, and it's going to run through eternity. It's going to run throughout eternity. Now, notice it said, none shall make them afraid. None shall make them afraid. That's not the case now in the church age. That's not the case right now over in Israel, or even with any Jew. Right now, Israel dwells in fear of the Muslims. They live with that stuff every day. They're afraid of suicide bombers. They're afraid of Scud missiles. They're afraid of a nuclear attack from Iran. That's all going on right now.
Right.
I mean, right now. And they're living in fear right now. But pretty soon, none shall make them afraid. Tell you something else Israel fears. They fear being sold out by their allies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And they've been sold out by every one of them except America right now. And America's tottering right now. They're tottering right now. Verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Verses 14 through 20. We're going to get Zephaniah finished this month, and then we'll be ready for the next book. We've been a long time in it. But verses 14 through 20 is light at the end of a long, dark tunnel. Long, dark tunnel. Blessings, peace, rest, salvation at the end of 6,000 years of blood, sweat, and tears. That's the way it's been for Israel for 6,000 years. Light at the end of the tunnel. Isaiah 12 talks about that day, that day, that day. That's the second advent. And that's when Israel's going to be restored, saved, and put back into the land forever. Forever. Jesus Christ is going to be their king and their God forever. Sing, O daughter of Zion. You know, in most cases, people sing because they're happy. They sing because they're happy. We have something to sing about.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
We have something to sing about.
Yeah.
My prophet died for me, and he takes care of me.
That's right.
Muslims, they don't have anything to sing about.
That's right.
What did their prophet do for them?
Turn them against pork, for one thing. That's one reason.
Yeah. You think about this, man. What did Mohammed do for his people? The prophet of Islam, what did he do for them?
Nothing.
Zero.
He had a
nothing. You know, he couldn't even read. You know what he does for them? He turns them into suicide bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
72 virgins, rivers, and honey is all they got a promise of to blow themselves up kingdom come.
Right. Yeah. And they're going to be in for a big shock when they blow themselves up.
That's right.
They get a real remote and lava.
What do you teach them? To hate me and you? Yeah. They teach them from until they're able to read to hate me and you, kill me and you if we won't be in subjection to them. They teach them to hate the Jew, kill the Jew if they won't be in subjection to them. That's what Muhammad did for his people. That ain't my prophet.
I don't remember what state it was, but it just recently happened. They turned the whole state over, got Muslim government, they got the sound of the Muslim prayers in the morning and everything else,
the
right here in America.
The whales.
See where it is.
My prophet Alabama, died for me, Georgia. And he takes care of me every day. Amen. Takes care of me all the time. Islamic religion is a miserable religion. Miserable. Sing. Sing, O daughter of Zion. You know the largest book in the Bible is a song book? The book of Psalms is a song book. Those were songs written. And it's the largest book in the Bible, and it talks about singing. Look at Psalms 149:1. Read it, somebody could gather.
Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song in his praise in the congregation of the saints.
Sing unto the Lord. Look, Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2. Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will sing unto thee. You know, when we sing unto the Lord.
Amen.
We worship the Lord through song. You know, Bible worship or church worship, a worship service without singing is foreign to the Scriptures. Foreign to the Scriptures. We sing because we have something to sing about. I mean, there's thousands of songs about the Lord and about the things of God. Once for all, free from the law, oh blessed condition.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has bled, and I have remission. That's a good song.
Amen.
Since I've been redeemed, there is a song I love to sing, since I've been redeemed, of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I've been redeemed. That's why we sing.
That's right.
We got something to sing about.
Amen.
And on top of that, we know who we're singing about, so that even makes it better. Makes it a lot better when you know who you're singing about.
Amen.
We're supposed to sing this morning. When we get up and sing, we're going to sing for the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to sing as worshiping Him, and you folks can listen.
Amen.
We're not professionals. There may be a mess up. I got neuropathy in my left hand so bad now I can't even feel the strings. I can't even hardly tell what kind of chord I'm hitting. But I'm going to try to make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Amen.
And sing praises unto Him.
Yeah.
And worship Him in song.
Amen.
And that's what we're supposed to do. Worship without without singing is foreign to the Bible. Look at Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And look how we can teach. Think about this. This is not the only way to teach right here. You know, you can teach with a song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a person can get under conviction through a song.
Oh, yeah.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. There's the book of Psalms. Hymns. There's your song book out there. And spiritual songs. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that everybody's supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You say, well, I can't sing a lick. Lord don't care.
That's all right.
He wants you to make a joyful sound, joyful noise.
My oldest.
Sing to Him from joy.
Amen.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's how a lot of people carry their history down through generations.
True. Yeah, through songs.
Yes, sir.
That's how we teach our little children.
True.
Start
right. That's a good way to worship God, with singing. When you get to heaven, you're going to hear some singing.
oldest granddaughter.
And there's plenty of singing.
She got saved here at Bethel. Raymond Linda King was singing that song, Jesus Heard Me Again. And she is young, but I got saved just through that song.
Hey, it can happen.
Amen.
It can happen. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's why they're singing, man.
Yeah.
They're happy. Songs of the redeemed, out of every kindred and tongue.
Be a lot of singing,
people and nation. All kinds of singing when we get to heaven. Okay, we got to stop right here. We'll pick it up next week in verse 15.
And your family's singing then, Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church.